Man, it is so good to be here in your house today. It's just an honor to be here. And as Pastor said, I wish my wife could have come because she really does legitimize me. People see her and they think a couple of things. They're like, they're the same age, but they think that must be his daughter or his caretaker. And then they find out we're married and they're like, oh, he must be rich. Then they find out I'm a pastor and they're like, okay, something's wrong with her. So anyway, the point is she is special. I wish she could have been here with me. And you guys will have to pardon my voice a little bit. I got a little allergy issue, but you know, we'll get through it. And if you can deal with it, so can I. I'm just so honored to be here. I mean, what a great church Promise of Victory is. I mean, I've been following and admiring your church for a long time now, from the time before you even moved into this building and this complex. It's just a remarkable, special place. And I'm so honored to be able to celebrate Pastor Appreciation and celebrate the whole family with you. I mean, Pastor Albert and Amanda, they have been so incredible. And as he said, they are from our area. And the last time he spoke at our church, it was pretty remarkable. And people come out of the woodwork to hear him because they knew him. And the next week, I was with my son, and we had to go to this place. And one of his old high school buddies was in there, and he started telling stories. And my son's eyes got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I said, don't you get any ideas, boy. And we came out of there and he said, my God, what kind of preacher is that? And I said, well, God got hold of him and it was pretty incredible. And, it is such an honor to be here, and you got an incredible pastoral family right here leading you. And you know, it's no surprise that this church is growing so fast and doing so much ministry because of the leadership that you have here. And it's rare to see someone with the kind of work ethic and passion and commitment and drive to fulfill God's call. It's rare that you're going to find that, and you have that here. I got tired just walking around this building last night because I started looking at all the work that was done here and that much of it done by your pastor's own hands, and I'm telling you what, it is remarkable. You are blessed. You are so blessed. Let's give it up for your pastoral family today. Now, all that makes it easy for me to preach a message on pastoral appreciation because you have such a great pastor. It's hard to come in when nobody likes the guy and they hate him. You know, you guys love your pastor, and you should, and that makes this a much easier proposition. And I want to take today and talk about a few ways the Bible tells us that we are supposed to honor our pastor and our leadership. And I think there's some great biblical principles that apply to us. And this is why it's important. You're like, well, this is a crazy message to talk about. But guess what? When we follow what's in the Word of God, in honoring our leadership, it brings unity. It brings us together. It's not just about the man. It's about God's purpose and us coming together to accomplish his purpose. So if we'll follow what God says about honoring our leadership, it benefits your family. It benefits your church. And it is an excellent way to continue moving forward the purpose that God has for you as a church, as individuals, as families. And that's what we want to talk about today. We're going to start in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, and 13. It says this: dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. And we're going to talk about this today. So Paul closes out this letter. This is the end of the letter he wrote to this church in Thessalonica. And it gives some very clear directions. And the first thing we need to notice here is that we're looking at a command that Paul wrote. This isn't a request. It's a command to honor those who are leaders in the Lord's work. And it's a pretty clear directive. There's no ambiguity here. The Bible tells us to honor them and to show them great respect and to show them wholehearted love. And here's the important part. Paul instructs the church to show honor to their pastors and leaders, not because of who they are, not because they make us feel good about ourselves, not because we particularly like them, not because they visited us in the hospital, not because they did us a personal favor. No, we honor them because of their work, the work that the Lord called them to do. That's why we honor them. And so we honor the person because of the position, regardless of our personal feelings toward them. I mean, just listen to how David, King David, many of us know, listen to how he handles Saul, who is the anointed king. You know, David was going to be his successor, but Saul had fallen away from the Lord, was trying to kill him, but he was still God's anointed. And listen to how David handles him. In 1 Samuel 26, 8 through 11, it says, Abishai said to David, "Today the Lord has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't strike him twice." But David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives," he said, "the Lord himself will strike him, or his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed." So there's no doubt that David had plenty of reason to dislike Saul, plenty of reason to have frustration with him, who had driven him into hiding in the wilderness, and he's running for his life. But David understood that God's anointing is not about the person, it's about the position. And we're in a fortunate position here that you have an excellent leader, and it makes it easier for us to honor him and honor him for the work that God's called him to do. And so I'm here to tell you today that God divinely appointed your pastor and his wife for this time, for this place, for this city, for this church, and if God saw fit to place them here, then it's our job to show honor to God's anointed. Amen? Amen. That's all right. So the question for this morning is, how can we properly honor our pastor? What does the Bible tell us about how we should honor the leadership that God anointed and placed over us? How can we do that? I mean, showing true honor, it sounds easy, and sometimes it is, but the reality is showing proper honor to the God-appointed leadership can be challenging because it also includes a measure of sacrifice on our part. That means we show them honor even when we don't feel like it. We show them honor even if we're frustrated with them. We even show honor when we don't like them, because we do this because God instructs us to do it. That's his call. And so the Bible is filled with instruction on how to properly show honor. And so we're going to look at a few ways. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 17, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account." I mean, think about that. He has to answer for your spiritual well-being. If anybody else wants to take that load on, go right ahead. I mean, it is a heavy burden. And so they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. "Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." So the first way we show honor to our pastor is to respect the authority God has placed on them. And the best way to do that is by joining them in the work of the ministry. And so, did you know that the primary role of the pastor, do you know what it is according to the Bible? It's probably not what you think. I mean, it's probably not what you think. Paul tells us, the Bible tells us very clearly, and it says it in Ephesians 4, 11, and 12, it says this: "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers." That's the fivefold ministry. That's the role that the Bible says. Those are the leadership roles in the church. And here's what it says their job is. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So the number one responsibility of the pastor, at least according to the Bible, isn't preaching, it's not visiting the hospital, it's not doing weddings and funerals, it's not all those things. We do all those things, but that's not the number one job according to God. The top responsibility of a pastor is to equip his people, you, to do his work, God's work. That means the best way to honor a pastor is to help him accomplish his God-given responsibility to equip and empower you in the church to do the work of the ministry. That's his job. That's what he was called to do. And so it's one thing to say that we believe in someone and pat somebody on the back, and that feels good, but guess what? Actions always take it to the next level. You know, when I'm instructing someone, it makes it, when I see them take hold of that instruction and do something about it, man, that takes it to another level. It's so much better than just a attaboy, high five, or whatever. When we see them take action, I mean, it makes me think about my kids. You know, one of my biggest fears as a parent was I was going to raise some terrible kid. And my son, I'll be honest with you, after he got to about 7, 8 years old, I realized if I do this wrong, I will raise the most evil, terrible person on the planet. And so I got to fix this thing and make sure I do it right. And I can't unleash that on the world. And so it was one of the greatest days of my life for some to seeing them do some things that, you know, like when they could go to the bathroom on their own, I didn't have to go help them. And that felt good. I taught them how they did it. That was great. They didn't pee in the pants. They didn't wet the bed. Man, that's a great day. You know, it was a great day when they could feed themselves without making a mess. It was a great day when they told me the truth instead of lied to me when they could have. It was a great day when they remembered to apply when I saw them apply the lessons from church to their lives. I mean, those are great days because I saw the fruit of my labor. And so it was an incredible feeling for my kids. But guess what? The same is true for a pastor. When we see the fruit of people listening to the word of God, hearing the messages, hearing the vision of the church and to start doing something and actively taking part, and that is a great, great feeling. That is the pinnacle of what we're supposed to do because that's what our calling is. I mean, it's great to hear the support and the nice, you know, the good job, pastor, all that's good. Don't stop doing that, but it's so much better when we start to share the load a little bit. I mean, think of it this way. When you're out with a pickaxe digging a hole in the ground and you're swinging at that rock trying to break it, you're doing it over and over and over again, there's an incredible feeling when someone goes to acknowledging that you're digging and to actually picking up the axe and taking a swing at it with you. And so how can we appreciate our pastor? We can stand alongside him in ministry. We can be more faithful to attend. We can tithe and give the way we're supposed to. We can find out about the places we can serve. We can go to next steps and find out where we can serve and where we can come alongside him. We can figure out our passion. We can begin to serve and join the team and take action. That's how you can appreciate your pastor because that accomplishes what God's called him to do. And so the next way we can honor our pastor goes back to that first scripture I read. In 1 Thessalonians 5:13, it says, show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. And here it is, and live peacefully with each other. Live peacefully with each other. If we want to show honor to our pastor, we can do that by simply living peacefully with each other. How about that? You know, parents with multiple kids, you know what I'm talking about here, right? I've got 3 kids. They're good kids. They get along most of the time. But every once in a while, they fight. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm talking about. And most of the time, I can handle it. I'm like, okay, I figure out I'm the judge. I discern who did what wrong. And, you know, they're playing and somebody screams, oh, he took my this and she did that and they blah, blah, blah. And I can do that. But every once in a while, I just need some peace. And I hear them upstairs start yelling and I just break. I'm like, I don't care who did what. I don't care who's right or wrong. I'm spanking everybody because I want peace. I'm spanking all y'all. If your mom gets in the way, I'll spank her too. Because I want peace. You know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes pastors feel that way too. I mean, there's too much whining. Why don't we do this? And why don't we sing that? Or why don't we go there? Or why are we doing this? Or why is it that color? And you know what? Sometimes the pastor says, I want to spank everybody. I just want peace. You know what I'm saying? But we can't do that. Wouldn't it be nice? It'd be great if I could just whip out that belt like my dad did, just start whipping people. But it don't work that way. Because we're grown adults, right? We're grown adults. And so the pastor, we need to live peacefully with each other. And that's how we can honor our pastor, because the pastor needs that. The Bible tells us in that same scripture where to live peacefully, in that same sentence, he commanded us to show our pastor this great respect and love, because essentially the pastor needs peace and unity in the church in order to accomplish the mission and carry out the vision and that God gave him to expand the kingdom. Because if he's too busy dealing with all the fussing and fighting, then it takes the focus off the lost and reaching the community and making a difference. So if we want to help our pastor out, we put aside petty differences. We put aside the squabbles and the issues. We put aside some of the things that we don't like that don't really matter if we really look at it. And we start getting focused on what God's called us to do as a church and what God's called our pastor to lead, and that's reaching the lost and making a difference in his community. Amen? Jesus said this in Matthew 12:25. Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Churches are destroyed when people aren't unified with each other. Churches are destroyed when the people aren't unified with the pastor. The pastor needs peace in his church because it's impossible to grow the church and lead people into a deeper walk with Christ without the backing and support and participation of the body of Christ. Amen. And so when we're too busy complaining about things that don't matter, the work of God can't move forward. So one of the greatest ways we can honor our pastor is just simply live peacefully with each other and with him. That doesn't mean we don't disagree. That doesn't mean we don't have differences of opinion. It just means we conduct ourselves like adults. I tell our church all this all the time. If you've got an issue with something the pastor's doing, that's okay. What's not okay is when we start talking about it or post something on social media instead of being a grown adult and go straight to your pastor and use your mouth and speak your words directly to his face. That's okay to do it that way. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. Pastor won't care one bit if you have an issue with what he's doing if you'll come to him in the right spirit and say, hey, pastor, I have questions about this. That's okay. So I'm not saying we just put aside everything and don't ever disagree. We just disagree the right way. Do you understand? That's what I'm talking about here. So Paul gives us another more practical way we need to honor our pastor. In 1 Timothy 5:17, it says this: elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. So if we need to show honor to our pastor by paying them well for the work that they do. We need to do that. I know your pastor. I know the kind of worker he is. I know that he could and does work circles around most people. I mean, he's working for the Lord, and he's also working because he cares where your family spends their eternity. That's why he's working. So I get really frustrated with the attitudes of some people about pastors. I mean, when my wife and I got married, she's always made more money than me, too. That's another one that people are confused about. They're like, not only is she this, but she makes more money. It's like backward. I'm living like Bizarro Superman. That's where I'm at. I'm backwards land. She makes more money than I do. So, you know, but I'm pretty frugal with what I have. And one of the things, like, we like to take trips, but I'm not a car guy. I don't care about cars as much, okay? So when we first got married, she got another car, she got a good job. I just started driving her car from college, and I ended up driving that thing for 17 more years. And it was a Chrysler Cirrus. That ain't supposed to happen, all right? So that was the favor of the Lord, all right? So one day I was with my daughter dropping her off at a practice or something, and the husband of the teacher of it was a dance class or whatever, he was standing out there, and I was by the car, and he's standing by the door, and he's looking at me smiling and nodding his head, and I just looked at him. He said, "That's a good pastor's car." And I was like, "What you mean?" He's like, "Just a good pastor's car." And I wanted to drop kick that guy right back through the door. I'm like, "What are you talking about, a pastor's car? What do you mean? What does that mean? I'm supposed to live in filth and poverty?" What he didn't know is I'd go buy a car right then if I wanted to, mainly because my wife had more money than I did. But I could have. You know what I'm saying? But that the attitude is what bothered me. Like, oh, a pastor's supposed to be poor and never have anything good in life. He's supposed to eat dog food and live in a tent. I mean, that. I mean, really, what? That's ridiculous. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells me that the people who are preaching and teaching should be paid well. I didn't write that. God wrote that. If you don't like it, take it up with him, not me. I mean, really, I didn't come up with that plan. It was his. Now, if God had said the pastor should eat dog food and live in trash, then we'd have done it. That's not what he said. That's not what we do. The point is, the duty of the church is to respect and take care of their pastor and make sure they're well taken care of. And so this one doesn't take a whole lot of elaboration. It's pretty simple, and we just take care of them, pay them well for the hard work that they do. But one of the most important ways we can honor our pastor is also some of the greatest life advice in the entire Bible. In fact, I think this is some of the best advice in the Bible. In Hebrews 13:7, it says this: remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Those who are preaching to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So if we want to truly honor our pastors, then we need to let the word of God spoken through them really affect our lives. We need to look at them. Amen. That's right. We need to model their way of life, model their marriage and the way they function and say, okay, God is blessing them. If I want to be blessed, I can model the biblical principles in their life. I mean, there's few greater feelings as a pastor than to see the word of God spoken through us transform someone's life in a powerful way. Just like there's no greater disappointment as a pastor than watching someone constantly disregard or ignore every bit of advice, warning, or suggestion only to have their lives fall apart. And so how do we appreciate our pastors? We allow the words that he speaks from God to penetrate and transform our lives. So every Sunday, your pastor brings a message from the Word of God, a message designed to challenge each and every person here to get closer to the Lord, a message designed to draw people to start or renew their relationship with the Lord. And the greatest possible way to honor your pastor is to listen to those words, to soak in that message every week, to deepen your walk with Jesus as a result. And for some here today, you've heard that message before from him. You've heard it, but just didn't take that step toward Jesus that you needed to take. And the good news, though, is today you can take that step. Today you can make that decision. Today you can enter into that personal relationship with Jesus. You can imitate your pastor's way of living and follow his lead into a relationship with Jesus. You can do that today, just like Hebrews said, consider the outcome of your leader's way of life. We live under the blessings of God, and so can you if you'll just give your life to Jesus just the same way your pastor and his wife have done. You can have that same blessing. Paul tells us just how easy it is to make that decision in Romans 10:9-13. It says this: if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart you are made right with God. It is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. Verse 13 is powerful. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. So the greatest way to honor your pastor, I know this isn't the first time you've heard this. I know it's not. But the greatest way to honor him is to say, you know what? I'm going to imitate the faith that he has. I'm going to listen to the words that he's preached, and I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to do it all today. I'm going to give it all to him. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Nobody's looking around just for a minute. I don't know if this is what you expected out of a Pastor Appreciation Sunday, but you know what? When you come to the house of God, I know that when you come to Promise of Victory, whether you intended to or not, you're going to encounter the living God. And today, the Lord is here, and he's calling out to some people. He's called out to you through your pastors preaching for years. Maybe it's your first Sunday, and you didn't even know what kind of church you were stepping into. But today, the Lord is here, and he's calling out to you for that personal relationship. And so right now, I'm going to pray. We're going to pray and simply do what it said in Romans. We're going to ask the Lord to be the Lord of our lives. We're going to tell him we believe in him. And we're going to ask forgiveness for our sins. We're going to ask him to take the number one position in our life. It's as simple as that. Whether it's for the first time, or maybe you just haven't been living the way you should, maybe it's just to recommit our lives to him. We're going to do that together. I'm going to say this prayer. You can repeat this prayer after me. You can use your own words. But we're going to ask him to come into our lives today. Let's do that together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for us. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to die for us. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Jesus, thank you for raising from the dead, just like you promised you would. Jesus, thank you for raising from the dead like you promised you would. Lord, I ask that you would just come into my life today. Jesus, come into my life today. Lord, forgive me of my past, the things I've done, the things I've failed to do. Jesus, forgive me of my past. Forgive me, please. But Lord, help me to live my life for you from this day forward. Jesus, help me to live my life for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Every head still bowed, every eye still closed, just for a moment. If you prayed that prayer today and you say, Pastor, I gave my life to him today. I followed him today. Just slip your hand up real quick. It's between me, you, and the Lord. It's just a private moment. I see that. Thank you. I see those hands. I see that. Thank you. You guys can put those hands down. Let's just give God praise. You guys can look up. Let's give God praise for those decisions that were made today. Let me tell you what. It's the greatest decision you can ever make. And let me tell you what. Here's the good news. If you just made that decision, or maybe you have recently, or maybe you have since your pastor's been here, you have an incredible example and leader to follow to help you get to the place where you need to go. I'm telling you, let me just say this. Your pastor's put together an incredible church based on God's principles to help people do what God's called them to do. He's done that. That's good. That's right. And I'm telling you, if you'll do all the things, your life will get better. And here's what I mean by that. You'll do all the things. You come to church every time you can. You can miss sometimes, that's okay, but you come every time you can. You make it a priority. You tithe and give, faithful to God in giving. You get involved, go to next steps, serve the Lord. God created you to serve. Did you know the Bible says that God created things for you to do before you were ever born? Get involved, do what God's called you to do, and your life's gonna get better. I promise you it will. If you'll do the things, if you'll just do all the things. See, too many people want to just say the prayer and do things their own way. They don't want to listen to or follow or imitate their pastor. They're like, well, I'll just dip my foot in a little bit and my life will be great. Guess what? Don't work that way. Either God's first or he's nothing. That's the way it works. But if you'll follow your pastor's lead, if you'll trust in the process, your life will get better. I promise you. God will take care of you. Amen. Let's just give God praise this morning. Before we move forward, I have one more thing I'd like to do as a church. And Pastor and Amanda, could you guys come up for a minute, Pastor Albert? I just want to have them up here. Won't you guys stand with me just for a minute? I know this is probably not what you usually do, but it's a special day. And I believe God is taking your church to a new place. I mean, you're from 13 to 300 people. It's incredible. That's just scratching the surface of God's vision. And so we're going to pray a couple things. We're going to pray, first of all, that God will bless your pastor and his family and his wife, Pastor Amanda and Albert. We want to pray that God will bless them. But we're going to pray that God's going to bless this church, because if he blesses this church, he's blessing you too. Amen. So we're We're kind of praying for our own blessing, but it's an important thing. We're going to pray that right now together. Is that okay? All right, guys, if you're comfortable, you can just stretch your hand toward them. We're going to pray a prayer of blessing over them right now. Heavenly Father, I ask that you just be with Pastor Albert and Amanda, that you would just continue to lead them and direct them and guide them in the steps that you want them to take. Lord, you've done so much through them already, but Lord, I'm asking that you'd give them a renewed energy and a renewed vigor to do what you've called them to do. And Lord, I'm asking that you would just touch them in every way. Lord, bless their family, their home, their finances. Lord, be with them emotionally, spiritually, physically, in every way, that you just bless them in everything that they do, that you just have your hand of protection over them. My God in heaven, that you would just be with them. And Lord, I'm asking now that you touch this congregation, that you would help them to show honor the way that you've called us to do in your word. And when you do that, that you'll bring us into unity so that we can march forward and accomplish even greater things, Lord Jesus, that you've already set in advance for us to do. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give God praise today, would you? Thank you, guys. Love you guys. Now, it's my honor and my privilege to be able to take up... You guys can be seated for a minute, if you would. It's my honor and my privilege to be able to take up the offering today. It's fun because I'm not the pastor here, so I can say whatever I want. I'm leaving. But the reality is, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I'm not here to compel you to do anything. It's between you and God. I mean, the Bible basically says, if you give in the wrong spirit, you're throwing your money away. So if you got a bad attitude about it, I'd say put it back in your pocket right now, okay? It's wasting it. However, it does say God blesses a cheerful giver. That's what the Bible says. Let me tell you about the principle of tithe and tithing. If you don't know, tithe is the tenth. It belongs to God. The first 10% that we make, it is His. If you keep it, you're stealing it from Him. That's all scripture. That's how that works. When we don't tithe, we live under a curse. That's all from Malachi. That's all in the Bible. Jesus Himself said we ought to tithe. That's just Bible. And so I encourage you, if you're not tithing, if you're like, man, 10%, I can't do that. I'm just saying start somewhere. If you've never done it, start with 1%. Work your way there. Just do something. Show God good faith and you'll start to live under His blessings. Now, I know I'm preaching a separate sermon here, but when I say blessings, I'm not talking about financial blessings. Sometimes money's a curse. I'll say it this way, if me getting more wealth will destroy my children, then I don't want it. So sometimes God knows it won't be, maybe it'd be okay if I had some extra money, but it'd destroy my kids. He knows better. So He'll give us exactly what we need when we need it. We've got to trust Him. What I'm talking about blessings is the joy of the Lord in our heart, the peace of God flooding our soul, the relationships that we have in our family and the body of Christ. That's the blessings of God. So when we tithe and give properly, those are the blessings of God. Now, you have a special opportunity today to honor your pastors and his family. You have that special opportunity. I believe they handed these envelopes out. Did everybody get one of these? If you did not, if you need one of these, there are probably some ushers that have them. Just raise your hand. This is a place where you can put a special offering for your pastor. I think there's a few here that need them. I think they're coming down with those. Just keep your hands up long enough for them to bring them. Now, this is not your tithe. Your tithe is for the Lord. This is something different. And I'm asking you right now to pray about what God would have you do for your pastor. And listen to what that says again. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. I want you to just take a second while I'm talking and pray to the Lord and say, God, what would you have me do for my pastor today? What would you have me do? There's a few more down here who need envelopes. Guys on the main floor. There's quite a few actually. Some down here on the main floor when you get a chance. They're coming. But when we, like I said, I want you to pray for a moment. Ask God to challenge you. He said, what do I need to do for my pastor? And God will never He'll never let that go unthanked. You will never owe God for that, and God will bless you for it richly. They're getting those out. Thank you, guys. Guys, I'll say this, that when we give faithfully and cheerfully, we live under the blessings of God in so many ways. And so as you give, just a couple directions. If you don't have an envelope, if you're writing a check, write it directly to Pastor Albert or Pastor Amanda Mitchum. Just write it directly to them. That's the best way to do it. It's what they've said. It's so much better if you do it that way. If it's cash, just put it in there. If you're just giving in the offering in general, the general offering will also go to your pastors. If you have a specific ministry that you intend to give to, God's asked you to give to a different place, make sure you mark that clearly when you give online or when you give in your envelope. Make sure you do that so that it's very clear, okay? Does everybody have the envelope they need? All right, I'm going to pray right now. We're going to pray over this offering. The ushers are going to take that up at this time. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather in your house. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful house that you provided for us to worship in. And Lord, we thank you also for our pastors here, Pastor Albert and Amanda and their family. Lord, I ask that you would just bless them and that you would just honor them. And Lord, I ask that you would just take the gifts and the offerings that we're receiving today, that you would multiply them for your purpose and for you, your use. And Lord, I ask that you would receive it in the spirit that it's given and honor those who give in the spirit that they give it in. Just bless them. Pour out your blessings on your people today. Heavenly Father, we honor you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give God praise today, would you, as our ushers come.